I want to thank you for your obedience, because the scripture says to obey is better than sacrifice. So let's just bow our heads.
Lord Jesus, tonight we're looking to obey to the best of our ability, and that's my heart's cry right now. To make sure you don't miss the spot of what you want and how you want it done. I would like to start off with, this morning the Lord provided a vision. And the vision was the altar of incense that is now sitting on our altar for actually a little bit of time. But more than anything else, it was lit and it was burning. And it was to have us understand a little bit more about the intimacy that our God is looking for. And I was pressed to go to the book, Footstool of the Kingdom. And I'd like to share a couple of points with you. That frankincense was also used on the showbread in the tabernacle. And you'll find this in Leviticus 24, verses 5 through 7. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof, and thou shalt set them in two rows, six on a row, upon a pure table before Jehovah. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be to the bread as a memorial. It goes on, as we mentioned earlier, the incense is also symbolic of the name of God and symbolic of prayer. We have been given a new name, Revelation 2:17. The family name denotes heritage and bloodline. Amen? We must understand that when we come to Christ, we are now of a different heritage. We are sons of God and in the bloodline of the King of Kings. This is the identity that allows us to enter into our destiny as a habitation for God. Concerning incense being a symbol of prayer, let us remember that the golden altar of incense was the only piece of furniture in the tabernacle that was transitioned from the holy place, which is the second day mentality, into the Holy of Holies, third day mentality. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot holding the manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and above it cherubims of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Hebrews 9, verses 3 to 5. Now, myrrh is the first mentioned as a principal ingredient in the anointing oil of the tabernacle. Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, and thou shalt make an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation herewith, and the ark of the testimony. Notice again, and the table and all his vessels. He didn't stop at just one corner. And the candlestick and his vessels. And the altar of incense. And the altar of the burnt offerings with all his vessels. And the laver and his foot. Exodus 30, verse 23 through 28. Anointing oil is obviously speaks of the anointing of the anointing oil. Only comes through the anointed one. So, the anointing is not a feeling or a goosebump or an atmosphere. The anointing is a person. The person of Christ. How befitting that myrrh is referred to as a principal spice. Principal in French means principal. It's the most important. The word translated as principle is Rosh in Hebrew. It means included or include, head, beginning, captain, chief, first. Indeed, Christ is our head, our beginning, our captain, our chief, our firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8. Notice that everything in the tabernacle was anointed with this oil. Everything in the Holy of Holies, everything in the holy place, everything in the outer court. Even so, it is for us. Whether our Christianity is based in sacrifice or dealing with sin, outer court experience, or based on the gifts and revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit, holy place experiences, amen, or based in His glory, which is, obviously, if you didn't get it by now, how much crying out did we get tonight in the music? To cry out for His glory. Amen? It is the same oil, the same Christ who anoints us all with Himself. Try it on. Say, it is the same oil. It is the same Christ. It is Jesus Himself who anoints us with Himself. What a beautiful picture of the corporate anointing. In other words, you can't do it without me. But I can't do it without you. Look around to each other. Say, I can't do it without you. I need you, and you need me. Now, wait a minute. You two are taking advantage of this. In the same way, Christ, who anoints us all with Himself, Psalms 133, verse 2, speaks of this also, precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. Now, you know, a lot of times we read something and we don't put two and two and we don't add it up. But every time in my book, when I was in school, if you added two and two, it always came out four. Even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt of his garment. Once again, it is the same Christ that anoints the whole body. However, I believe it is important to note that the first place the anointing flows to from the head is the beard. Jesus Christ is our head. And the first place His anointing flows to is the beard, which is symbolic of what? Ladies, why does a man get whiskers? And when? Aha! You got it! Which is symbolic of those who are moving into maturity. Now, don't take advantage of them. I believe that part of His anointing upon a company of mature believers is authority and wisdom to rule in the light of the new day. Aha! Did you get it? Say, these whiskers represent maturity for me. Yeah, the girls are trying, and it's okay. Go ahead and laugh. You've got Holy Ghost whiskers, girls. Myrrh was also used as an intimate perfume and used in embalming. Now, recognize again the maturity even of the death process. 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odor and with other things of the purifying of the women. Okay, guys, go ahead. Laugh at the girls. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desires was given to her, to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. Esther 2, 12 and 13. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. Come. Let us take our fill of love until the morning. Proverbs 7, verse 15 through 18. A bundle of myrrh is my well's beloved. Unto me he shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. Songs of Solomon 1 through 13. Given these verses, I believe it is safe to say that myrrh is symbolic of intimacy. And so for us, He has called us to a place of intimacy with Him. So if you don't spend quality time with Him, how are you going to get to know Him? You got to spend quality time with Him to get to know who He really is. Okay? My wife and I, a month ago, celebrated 50 years of married life. Intimacy. I can know what she's going to think before she thinks it. I can know what to respond before she opens her mouth. Because I can tell by her emotions what she's up to. Yeah. It's cool. Sometimes it's deadly. Because why? I have to die to self. In order to what? To accomplish what? What is the purpose of dying to self? It's to lift her up. So that she can survive the test she's in. Okay? That's my job. But by the same token, she dies to self sometimes because of what I'm called to do. And boy, I'll tell you, it's not always easy. And as I watch her having a hard time, and the Lord will say, shut up. Because I want to help. Do you ever want to help the Lord? And He says, I can do this job all by myself? Do you ever try to push ahead of Him? How many of you have ever gotten rebuked? Thank you. I have too. Where are you going, son? Well, I thought I'd do this. So much for the thinking. He doesn't want you to think your way through intimacy. He wants you to obey and compassionately follow. Oh, that wasn't in the book. And so for us, He has called us to a place of intimacy with Him. Today, He is beckoning us to a place of intimacy, intimate worship. And as He calls out to us, rise up, my love, my fair one, come away, Songs of Solomon 2:10. There are people who are responding to His call for intimate worship. As they say, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointment, thy name is an ointment poured forth. Songs of Solomon 1, verses 2 and 3. As I have written many times before, it is important to note that intimacy in worship is not an end unto itself. Isaiah 16:5 speaks of the throne being established in the Davidic tabernacle. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and He shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David. Of course, the throne is the seat of authority. Normally, we think of the tabernacle of David in terms of worship. And yes, that is certainly one aspect. However, the one with whom the Lord has trusted with His heart, He will trust with His authority and power. If He's going to trust you with His heart being formed inside of you, you're going to be full of compassion for those who don't understand you. Yes? And that's got to come first. Instead of being critical and well, I could give you a bunch of other good words, but we're not going to go there. David was known as a man after God's heart. He had an intimate relationship with the Lord. Consider that up until David, the ark had always been veiled, separated from the people. And the man after God's heart knew no veil. He was an intimate lover of the divine. And he was also a conquering king. Think about it. He knew the heart of God through worship. Therefore, he knew the power and authority of God in dominion. I could see King David there in the Shekinah glory of the tabernacle, not only in worship, but also in receiving strategy for battle as he advanced in the kingdom. Your strategy will come when you're worshiping. It's not going to come out of your panic button. Because if you start going after things just because you got a great idea, you're going to be responsible for what you bound and what you loosed. And I'll tell you, I have done that, and it's not God. And I got injured because I was out of timing. And I would recommend John Paul Jackson's book, Needless Casualties of War. Needless casualties of war. Stupidity in the body of Christ going after things that you don't have any authority over. Barking after the moon. Bunch of yo-yos. And I was one of them. You know why? Because we were taught of it. We were taught it in religiosity. We were not taught by the Holy Ghost. And I didn't know how to receive from Him. But I'm learning. I'm learning. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm learning. I'm learning to hear. I'm learning to see. To develop my spiritual senses. And not to rely just on my brain. Amen? All right. I believe that God is looking for a people who are willingly abandon themselves in intimate worship, who have laid aside all self-interest. Laid aside all self-interest to seek His face and not His hand. How appropriate, then, that myrrh was used not only as an intimate perfume, but also as an embalming product. It was working on your death. And there came also Nicodemus and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, then took them to the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. John 19, verse 39 and 40. Indeed, He is looking for a people who have died to self-life of Adam and are risen to the oneness in the Christ life or the anointed life of Christ. I don't want to go too much further, but I want to give you one more little piece. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh are an impartation of authority and wisdom to rule in the light of the new day we are moving into. Remember, the sons being birthed into the earth today is not yet fully mature. Yet still we are receiving the impartation now. There are perhaps some who are looking at this sun being birthed into the earth today, not understanding that there is a process involved before potential comes to fruition. There's your fruit. Going away saying, it is no big deal, just another new thing. There are perhaps some who are looking for the fruit of a fully matured son. But because they don't see it yet, they doubt its reality. Like wise men, we must understand this kingdom principle. And He said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you and unto you, that here shall more be given. So is the kingdom of God. First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. And He said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out forth great branches, so that the fowl of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Mark 4, 26 on through. So it is for the sons being birthed into the earth today. First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. I like the way the literal Bible translates Mark 4. Be careful what you hear. In what measure you measure, it will be added to you. Did you catch it? We determine the measure that is added to us. Say, I determine the measure that is added to me. It's up to me to wake up. Yeah, that's good, huh? If we measure this birthing of a son as just another new thing under another fad, we don't receive the impartation. We gain nothing. However, when we measure it with the same esteem that all creation measures it, earnest expectations are needed. Amen? Then we have just measured abundance to ourselves. If I really believe that I am growing and maturing as a son, what am I doing? I'm declaring Mark 11:24, believing I have received it's being done unto me. If I deny it, what happens? I short circuit and I what? I abort my own future. Yes? Are you maturing as a son of God? Yes, you are. Do the fruit always prove it? No. They don't always prove it. Because there's still the Adam part of you that's still operating. Did you see Adam show up once in a while? All right? The fleshy part of you still showing up? Yes. But if you only look at that, and you start declaring what that does, you're aborting the Son. Close your eyes for a moment. Say, Lord Jesus, it's easy to close my eyes. It's not so easy to close my mouth. Give me some help here so that I don't abort my own future, my own maturity, my own sonship. Hallelujah. By the way, when I wanted to release what God was putting inside, and I kept saying, okay, God, how? And I don't like to read from books. But you know, there were times that you have to just bow and do what he says. So get him out of the way. Get this message out into your hearts. And don't abort your future. Don't abort it. See the growth that is actually taking place. And by the way, Bob, Trump, that vision is very important because I've been crying out. Let's see some fruit. And the truckload's on the way. Okay? I've been crying out, Lord, let's see some fruit. And you said a whole truckload's coming. I glory to God on that one. Any questions? You lift your hands to the Lord. Say, Father, I thank you that I am maturing in Christ. I'm becoming more and more like the Most High because He's got His Son inside of me and He's growing and maturing. I can feel the whiskers growing. My maturity is in process and God will get the glory. Amen? Amen. And amen.